good afternoon, and welcome back to Community Living Radio. Of course, it is Tuesday, March 13th. Wow, how time flies. Well, we have a guest scheduled today, and it's going to take her a little bit longer to get into to call into us. Scheduling snafus, things like that. So in the meantime, until we get Joe Glenny on the line, we will cut to an Autism Live until she has a chance to actually call in to us. Okay, so we will start off with the Autism Live and then get into Joe Glenny. Okay, thanks. Okay, we're having a little more tech issues here trying to find the latest Autism Live. Just hang on.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod. We're coming to you live from the Warner Center in Woodland Hills, California. This is the home for Autism Live. It is also the home for the Center for Autism and Related Disorders. We're so thrilled to be here with you on this Thursday morning and coming to you live. I need my glasses. In any case, we're going to be with you live for the next 2 hours. We've got a big, big show, a lot of things that we want to cover, but I want to let you know that there's nothing more important than what you guys have to say. There were a lot of questions that we didn't get to that came in live yesterday, and I unfortunately don't want to promise that we can always get to all of them, but we're going to try to, whenever we can today, get back to some of those questions from yesterday and questions from you guys coming in, comments, questions, you know, suggestions, whatever it is that you guys have to write, because this show is meant to be interactive. If you watch this show at all, you know that one of the things that I love to say is that we can do this together if we hold hands, right? Si se puede, we can do this. And that you have a place here where we care and that you can write in and interact with us. That's like job number one for me, is to help you to not feel alone in this, really.
Okay, so we have Jill. She was just able to call in. Jill is the disability advocacy person for the Semi Alma House in White Rock, BC, and the Semi Alma House does a lot of work with people in South Surrey with disabilities, and. One is, I guess we kind of do similar work trying to make sure that people's rights and things like that are covered, because, as we know, our government sometimes tries to forget that people with disabilities even exist at times. So with that being said, welcome to the show, Jill.
Hello, Michael. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So it's pretty cool that you're able to actually to make it. I know we had that scheduling snafu.
Mm-hmm.
Damn that Google Calendar.
Yes, no, that can be a bit of a snag sometimes. But I'm so glad that we were able to connect, and yeah, it's just a pleasure to be on with you right now.
Yeah. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Semi Alma House and what it actually does. And, of course, it's located in South Surrey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. We are, if you're familiar with the area in South Surrey, we are just across from Peninsula Village, sort of an outdoor shopping area. So just along 24th, close to 152nd. And here we have just an amazing facility. It looks almost like a log cabin, so I'm sure many people in the area have driven by it hundreds of times and just never really had a chance to know what it is. And that's kind of intentional, right? We don't need to advertise that we support people with developmental disabilities. We are here to support people being equal community members. And so that is our intention and our mandate, and we do that in lots of different ways. We have employment training programs. We have day programs where people can come and learn different ways to be in the community and to give back. There are a lot of people that volunteer at thrift stores, or there's yoga, swimming, there's transit training, just a multitude of different ways to connect through the day. And mm-hmm. then in the afternoon, we have a rec and leisure program, and that's absolutely fantastic as well. And so people can take adult night out classes where, or programs, I guess I should say, where you're going out in the community and going to movies, bowling, geocaching. They also get to do international trips. So every 2 years, they're heading abroad and either to Mexico and different areas throughout the world to have some fun times together. And then we do lots of sort of local trips to Whistler and Loon Lake. And then there is the ABI program, so acquired brain injury, that we have in Surrey. And we have group homes, and we also support lots of people that want to live in different ways. So like I had mentioned, there's group homes. There's also different housing opportunities with caregivers, so more of like a one-to-one opportunity or a family. And then there is Chorus Apartments. That's behind the main office in South Surrey, and that's a 70-unit building where 20 apartments were earmarked for people with developmental disabilities, and that's been going successfully for a year. And then my role is supporting the self-advocates. So I'm the Self-Advocates of Semiahmoo Involvement Coordinator, and in that role I support them in attaining equality in the community and growing leadership skills. And yeah, it's just been a fantastic ride. I really appreciate being part of the community here.
You know, and you guys do a lot of community community advocacy also, because there's lots of, I know there's always lots of events going in and out of there. Because actually how we met was through one of those community events with the Toastmasters, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah. And so I'd love to tell you a little bit about that. I've been doing a little bit of recon at a wonderful Toastmasters club in South Surrey at the South Surrey Arts and Rec Center, early edition Toastmasters. So it starts early at 7 o'clock in the morning on Mondays. And I've been looking to develop a Toastmasters group for the self-advocates. As you mentioned, they do a lot of different community work. They are bringing beach wheelchairs, so accessibility for people with mobility issues, to White Rock Beach. They're looking to grow that user program to Crescent Beach, so in the Surrey area. And that's really important. So the self-advocates want to take on issues that are important to them, their peers, but also the community. And gaining access to the sand and surf of White Rock Beach, their home, is really important. So they want to be able to provide that. So right now we have 3 beach wheelchairs. We're looking to get a 4th so that people can go out in groups and pairs, and that it'll be equal footing in both White Rock and South Surrey. And so with those different things that we're doing in the community, there's lots of opportunity for media attention. So whether it's a newspaper or they are on podcasts, it's really important that the SAS members are able to articulate what's going on. And I think Toastmasters just in general is really good for everyone. I've really enjoyed the experience, and I can't wait to be a part of it with the self-advocates. And so it'll start with the self-advocates, and then it's going to grow to an opportunity to invite all of the community members. We just really want to make sure that the culture is there to support the self-advocates in media training.
Oh, wow. So let's dive into self-advocates, and maybe give a little history about and story behind how they got started, and maybe how they actually work and everything.
Sure, absolutely. So I came on to the self-advocacy program in, I would say, 2014, 2015. And at that time, it was more of a side-of-the-desk project, I would say. So there were managers that were responsible for it, but they also had just booming programs in other areas that they were trying really hard to maintain and to grow. And so the self-advocacy program didn't really have a chance to develop fully. And so one of the managers invited myself and the chair and mentor to the program, Alexander Magnuson, mm-hmm. to see what we could do with it. And so we observed for a year and listened and really had a chance to grow relationships and find out what was important to people, what their gifts and talents were. And then the following year, we started the program and the new program. And eventually, the self-advocates named it the Self-Advocates of Semiahmoo, or SAS for short. So if you hear me refer to SAS, that's what I'm going for. And we really upped the ante, I would say. So previously, it was a program where you met once a month for 1 hour. So now we meet twice a month for an hour and a half. We hold speaker series. There are different event nights to be able to skill build. And then there are different causes that we're championing in the community. And so as we developed, it was really important that Alex and myself gave the self-advocates an opportunity to learn what was possible for the self-advocacy program. So that was really difficult. We had to make sure that we were providing enough options that people were aware of what they could do, but we weren't directing anyone in any one particular area, because I am not a self-advocate. I'm their involvement coordinator, so I should not be coming in with my own agenda. And so it took about a year and a half to 2 years, but then I would say that Alex and I have felt quite confident that at that time we could leave, and they would be very strong in their intention and what they wanted to deliver to the community. And so we're in our third year, plus the year that we observed, so our fourth year. Mm-hmm. And so it's been just incredible. I would say in the second year, once everybody sort of was gathered as a group and we were a strong force and making change in our community, they developed their SAS logo. So we had somebody come in for over four meetings to develop what was important to them. And so our SAS logo is a circle. And then you've got a person, and the arms on each side are an S, and so it is representative of SAS, and you have a little megaphone that is by the person. And so they really wanted to show that they are together, that they are advocating, using their voices to make change, and the circle around represents the world. At that time, we also developed a brochure. And we've been going strong with our Facebook page as well. And through these areas, we've really been able to cultivate good relationships as well as promote the advocacy work that we do. So we've had different societies and advocacy groups approach us and finding out how we've been able to acquire our success.
Very cool. Very cool. So and you've been successful at making some really cool changes in, at least in the South Surrey area, for people with disabilities, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I do my best as the involvement coordinator. We have about 30 active members, and they all have just the most incredible ideas and want to share and try them out, as well as concerns or areas for growth, I guess you could say, in our community. So as I mentioned, the first one was the beach wheelchairs. And mm-hmm. So how that started was one of our first speaker series, we invited Ankar Bearing, who is a local self-advocate in the Surrey area, to come and speak to the self-advocates. And so we have them for about an hour and a half. And the first 45 minutes, Ankar spoke about his life and how he worked his advocacy and also worked out in the community and what was important to him and how he achieved his success. And then following that presentation, there was a 45-minute reception, which we do with all of our speaker series. And with that, Ankar, who uses mobility aids, and his girlfriend, who uses mobility aids, were talking about how they went down to White Rock Beach the year previously and were disappointed that they couldn't continue their date onto the beach. And with that became a very passionate conversation by the self-advocates. They continued to circle back to that point. At the next meeting, the campaign was born, so the Beach Wheelchair User Campaign. And we were able to contact the PSearch News, where we were featured, and it's been an incredible response from the community. Every time it comes up in the paper, people are really invested and want to support this. They want to support equality and everybody having the opportunity to be on the beach. And so we contacted Feral Board Sports, which is a local sand and surf sort of board shop, and they've got kite surfing and skim boards and paddle boards is a huge part of their business. And they were, as soon as we mentioned the beach wheelchairs, they were totally on board. And so the user program was created, and there are two beach wheelchairs, as I mentioned, available there by donation. And so we're still trying to get the word out. We are looking to also continue our work with the city in creating safe beach access points for people who with mobility issues, and that will make it easier for people using the beach wheelchairs. So they are available through Feral Board Sports. Like I said, by donation, the money goes back to be able to support Feral in maintaining and housing them. So that's one way that we've been really large and in charge in the community. Another way is Canada is getting some, hopefully, some wonderful planned accessible legislation will be passed this spring. And so we had the opportunity to self-advocate members, Michaela Robinson and Alexander Magnuson, attended a national youth forum in Ottawa a couple of years back to speak to the Minister of Sport and Disability at the time, Carla Quattro, as well as Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, about what makes an accessible Canada and what was important to them. And that was an incredible opportunity. I got to go with them to support and record their journey. That was amazing. There was 120 youth from all across Canada speaking about what was important to them and what was critical to implement to ensure that Canada is extremely accessible. And through that, it was really important that they maintained the momentum that they held in bringing the youth there. And so there were consultations as well all across Canada. And through that, we were able to attend the Vancouver consultation with about 10 different members. And they were very passionate, had some really good feedback for Carla. She was there as well at that time. And they also wanted to give back to the society, so Semiahmoo House Society, as well as the community. And so they created their own consultation and sent in about 40-plus pages of documents about what they had found and information that they had gathered. And through that, they were federally recognized for their work on the planned accessible legislation. So I think that's a huge highlight and accomplishment for the self-advocates that they will be a part of this legislation when it's passed.
Wow. That's that is really cool stuff. How you're able to get everybody involved with that sort of thing, and you know, it's not always easy to get in front of government with issues, right? So
yes, and that's a really good point that you bring up. It can be really difficult. One thing that
I'm going to let you bring that point up. And the next segment, because I gotta cut to a break here. Okay,
sure,
so
Michael. No
so just hang on a second and we'll be right back.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, you know, say it's Caleb Hart of Tasman Jude. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Tune in Sundays from 9 till 10 p.m. for bootlegs and B-sides with your host, Doran, for the finest in soul, dubstep, ghetto funk, and electro.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM. With Relly Rails and Jules Andre Brown.
Okay, and we're back with Jill. And what was that? And we left off with you talking about how difficult it can be to get issues in front of government. Now I know for us with radio and everything, it's one of the reasons why we do this is to try to get the issues out there in front of the public. So explain your experience a little bit with the government.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So when we created the new self-advocacy program, we felt it was really important to make change through positive relationships, and that's kind of our mission. Excuse me. And so with that, we've really tried to make sure that we are maintaining positive relationships. And there are huge concerns that we do have. But we, if we don't receive the welcoming that we're looking for from certain politicians, we sort of just excuse ourselves as quickly as possible, leave that space, and then try to find somebody else that is a good fit. And so in that case, you could kind of talk about the beach wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. We were looking for space down on Waitrack Beach to see if they were interested in hosting the user program. And it just didn't seem like a good fit with the changes that they were making to the beach. But they were very positive and wanted to do as much support as they could. And so we took that as a win. Even though they weren't able to house the user program, they were supportive of us and interested in looking at beach access. And so we left the meeting on a positive note and headed to a council meeting later in the year. And with that, we highlighted the work that the self-advocates had done and asked for support in creating accessible beach access points along Waitrack Beach, to which we had a standing ovation for the presenter, Madison Van Owen, who is a self-advocate. And so I would really advise groups that are looking out there to make change to consider that. I think that passion is really important.
But yes.
Also, attaining your goals is equally as important. And so looking for those partners that you can develop strong relationships with is really important. So again, you'll have to excuse me, I'm battling a little tickle in my throat here. I think that you want to look for your allies. And when you, I find that it can be pretty clear or pretty evident when you come into a meeting or you are speaking to someone that you feel can help support you and make change when they're not invested. And so it's, we have found that just not pushing those relationships or not trying to force them at that time is really important. So focus on the positive that you have the opportunity to go speak with them and then look for another ally. And that has been really successful. That being said, we are still really interested in making those beach access points. And so we're still connecting with them as much as possible. And we recognize that it may be not at the speed that we want to, but it also allows for other opportunities when you are able to maintain that positive relationship. We had another really great experience with our local MLA, Tracy Reddies. She's for Surrey and Waitrack. And so mm-hmm. we hosted, before she came into power, we hosted an all-candidates meeting. And we really wanted to highlight that people with developmental disabilities are capable, have gifts and talents, and should be viewed as a voting group that they should to look for, right? There are anyone over, right? Anyone that is an adult is able to vote. And so we really wanted to encourage the candidates to look at our advocacy group as a formidable power in our community. And so we held an all-candidates meeting. We gave them questions that were very broad, so they weren't specific to just to the self-advocates. So as opposed to just talking about transit, when the transit rates had been switched for people with disabilities, PWD rates, we broadened the question to more transportation. Instead of talking specifically about employment, we were asked about employment for the area for everyone. Same with housing. You know, affordable housing is not something that is just an issue with for people with developmental issues. I think everybody in South Surrey and Waitrack understands that housing is extremely expensive here. And so all the candidates had an opportunity to see the questions beforehand, and Alexander Magnuson, who is our chair and mentor, moderated the event. And we were really passionate about making sure that people just spoke about their platform. And so at one point he did have to advise one of the candidates to keep it on track. He wanted to speak more about the different parties that were in power, and so we just corrected them, again, to keep it positive. And then after that, seven different self-advocates spoke for roughly 2 to 3 minutes each on different areas that were really important to them. And it gave the candidates an opportunity to see what was important to the self-advocates. And after that, we had a reception. And so through that, election, Tracy Reddy's was voted in, and she has maintained her relationship with us. Last week, she featured one of our self-advocates, Manjeet Gagdas, at a international women's event called Hashtag Press for Progress, where Manjeet was interviewed by Tracy Reddy's. So that was an invitation that was extended to us through the relationship building that we maintained. And so recognizing that there are goals and milestones that are really important for a community that the self-advocates are passionate about, that is something that you always want to maintain, but the path there might be a little bit different. And so not losing sight of the big picture, where relationships are really important, where you can have the opportunity to affect change through maybe different people as well. You know, at that event that Manjeet was interviewed at, she is now on a first name basis with two other local MLAs, as well as she had the opportunity to meet the new head of the Liberal Party. And so, yeah, I just think that maintaining that positive relationship is really important. Another way that we do that, not necessarily politically, is we've just been accepted into the Surrey School District, which also encompasses White Rock. So we have a presentation called Equally Empowered, where self-advocates go back and highlight their gifts and abilities and what's sort of happening in their life, as well as what they like to do in volunteering, why it's important to them, and then the advocacy work as well. So more specific to championing causes in their community. And we really don't focus on having a disability. It's just about celebrating what life is like in your 20s or 30s, depending how old the presenters are, and showing that, you know, volunteering and being a part of your community is really important. And I think the takeaway really is that all people have gifts and talents, and that supporting your community is really important. And we've heard from other self-advocacy groups in the Lower Mainland that it's been really difficult. They have their own presentations that they want to get into the schools, and they haven't been as well received. But again, because our focus is positive, that we're trying to change people's minds, or sort of celebrate and highlight the awareness that all people have capabilities and all people are able to be contributing members to the community. And so we've just received our master contract to sign up for the City of Surrey, which we're really excited about.
Wow, that's totally awesome stuff. I think during the whole election process, I missed I wasn't able to get to your particular all candidates event, so I was photographing a lot of the stuff that was going on. I think because I remember Tracy Reddy's and it was Tracy Reddy and Naomi Patakakis, which for the record, I'm still friends with Naomi, and. I didn't really make too many friends on the Liberal side.
That's fair. That's okay. Yeah. Naomi was wonderful. She was very excited to come to the All Candidates meeting. She has been a part of the community that is a developmental disability community for a while, and so she was really excited to come and participate.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds exactly like who she is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Tracy wasn't the same way. I did actually see her in a number of things, and she's very, very much so wants to better our community, right?
I agree. And, oh, absolutely. So, yeah, she's very passionate. I see her at a lot of different events, and she's kept busy.
Yeah. Actually, both the ladies are busy. One with the Surrey school districts and trying to make that better for everybody, because as far as the school district was concerned, one of my kids was in the Surrey school district, and I had to show up every day to make sure to see if his tools had come in.
Oh.
And it was one of the reasons why I got involved politically when the chance came up. he's all grown now, and he's actually in university now, and it just wasn't the school district just wasn't producing the tools that he needed to help him learn, and both these ladies were advocates for, hey, we need to improve this. This can't be, right? So, so you keep bringing up Alexander, and I've seen him a number of times, and he's very outspoken. He has autism. Is that not correct?
That is absolutely, yeah. He identifies as having being on the spectrum, so having autism, and he is turning 30 later this month, and so he's just an exceptional human being. I've had the opportunity to work closely with him for about 3 to 4 years now, and he has given successfully 2 TEDx talks. I've seen him speak to a packed Bell Center for educators in the Lower Mainland, and he spoke for over 3 hours, and it was just an incredible event. There, people were so excited to be part of that event there through the Surrey School District, highlighting his experiences with autism, and he was just well received after that. I was quite nervous in supporting him to do a 3-hour talk. You know, I thought most movies aren't over too because people lose interest. So how are you going to hold everyone's interest for 3 hours? But he did it, and he just killed it, and people were just came up after and said that they could listen to him for hours after and were disappointed it was over, which it was just an incredible day. And so he's a huge advocate for all people, right?
Yeah. Like
for people with autism, for people with developmental disabilities, for people who he's on a provincial housing task force through Inclusion BC. And he also sits on several different organizations, boards, and groups. So here he is the chair and mentor to the self-advocates of Semiamu. He also sits on the board of directors at Semiamu House Society. He's on the advisory board for Pacific Autism Family Center in Richmond. And he also sits on the advisory board for Inclusion BC and is on the board of directors there as well. So he's very tapped into what's happening. He is very passionate about getting the word out to other people to make sure that they are educated and aware of how best to support all people in the community. And it's been really interesting to see how he has been a mentor to the self-advocate. So I'm hearing more and more now about how the self-advocates here feel more confident that they want to take on more in seeing his successes. Most recently, he won a provincial award called Community Living BC's Widening Our World, or CLBC WOW Award, which is open to all people in the community. Provincially, who are doing incredible work to support people with developmental disabilities, and so he was one of 5 people to receive that award.
Wow, that's fantastic! You know, Kelly's not here today, and it's unfortunate that he's not. He got called away on another project, but he's. Like Alex, when it comes to making sure that the media gets out to people, he's very much so. And he also, the reason I bring that up is because he also has autism. He's on the spectrum disorder, and it seems like when they get I get a passion. I don't have the spectrum disorder. It's like it's not really a disorder at that point. It's really an advantage, because. They can, because I've seen Alex. He just locks in on the issue, and I've seen him at one of the disability community things. It was something to do with the federal government, and and he laid it out there, right out there. He said, "You should hire me to help you advocate."
Oh yeah,
I remember that event.
That was
for
the Carla Quattro, at the Vancouver Public consultation for the accessible legislation. He is, he's very clear in what he wants.
Yeah,
he's very clear in what he feels people can be doing to better support, and people gravitate towards him. Yeah. To find out more information. So that's really cool that you got to have that experience with him. It'd be wonderful to get our friends together to maybe
that would be totally awesome. Mm-hmm. I would love to have Kelly do a one-on-one interview with Alex. That would be totally awesome. It's economics. Kelly had a position where he had more freedom to do work on the radio, and since he's economics, he's had that position disappeared, and he's had to take something closer to a 9-to-5, in which case he's only available to do more stuff behind the scenes. Usually he's here today, so
That can be really unfortunate. You know, there are very real barriers for people, not speaking to Kelly because I don't know him, but speaking to the people that I support and the community members that I've had a chance to meet, that the financial barrier as well as transportation and getting the information out are just three massive, massive issues for people with developmental disabilities. You know, the rates that people receive to live on are horrifically low and don't support, I think, people in being equal community members. So that really needs to change. Hopefully that is part of the accessible legislation that is passed. You know, to be an equal community member, you really need to be able to have opportunities to get into the community. So I think that if people are able to live above the poverty line, that would be just incredible. And then transportation, and not a lot of my friends are able to drive, and so they're subject to transit or handy dart, and sometimes you know, there aren't accessible bus stops. So there's a really wonderful local pool and facility that also encompasses a gym in our area called Grandview Pool.
Right.
And the bus stop that's right there is not accessible for people with wheelchairs, and so that can be a huge hindrance for someone who wants to get out and be a part of the community. They have to then find transportation that can accommodate them directly door to door. And then information. I think that if you have trouble reading or not sure how to tap into what's available in the community, that can also be a huge barrier. How do you find out about these really cool free events that are happening in the community or at low cost, right?
Right. Okay, so I'm going to cut you off again right there, and we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, I guess our ad computer wants to fight with me, and we'll just skip over the break, and we'll move on with the next segment. It's like,
sounds good.
Sometimes it's the software, I swear.
Sounds like it has quite the personality.
Yeah, it's like, no, I don't want you to play that. I want you to play that. Okay.
We
were talking about economics and transportation, and I mean, for being just perfectly able-bodied, making sure that you get enough of a paycheck so that you can afford to buy a bus pass, put gas in the car, all those sort of things, right? times and pay rent, right?
Sure, yeah, and have like food that you're not just eating ramen every day, or
healthy meals,
clothes,
right?
That look, clothes that support dignity, for sure.
Yeah, you know, that can be a bit difficult, even there. So now let's toss it in for a developmental disability. What do we have happen now?
You know, I think about that often. It's quite a complicated mix, I think. You know, for somebody who the term a lot of the SAS member use is typical, so somebody who is able to drive and who is able to find employment relatively easily and, you know, read and access, you know, that society is set up to support, it can be... You know, if you don't have friends who identify as having a developmental disability, it might be something that you don't think about. Very similar to the beach access, right, with the beach wheelchairs. I've lived in this community my whole life and never thought about, hey, you know, I don't see anyone with a wheelchair or who needs mobility assistance on the beach, right? But now that I am aware of it, now that more community members are aware of it, it's something that people champion. And so when you're talking about somebody who has a developmental disability wanting to be seen and wanting to contribute and be an equal member of the community, there are a lot of factors that come into play with that. And I just think that if, you know, I do my best. I've got two kids. I've got a wonderful family and friends that support me. And life is still really hard, right? I think life can be hard and challenging for a lot of people. And it's really important that you lean in and you experience it to the best of your ability and keep growing and challenging yourself. And that is something that I think that all the SAS members identify with as well. But there are a lot more maybe challenges that are thrown at them, right? You have to then navigate the bus system. So as an example, we have a conference that we're attending where six SAS members will be presenting on Thursday. And we're leaving the society at 7 o'clock. Well, for some people, that's a two-hour bus ride or an hour bus ride. I'm not even sure when the buses start in the morning, right? Or they have to find transportation from a friend who's going to wake up and then drive them here so that they can be on time to leave for the conference. So their days can be a lot longer. Some of my friends sit on Handy Dart for 2 hours at a time just to arrive to program in the morning, and then they have another two-hour ride back home. And so I think that's a huge thing, you know, when they're not necessarily traveling too far, just that time frame. And they can't stop and get off and go to the bathroom and come back on. They have to, they can't eat on the bus. So they're just, that is what their Monday to Friday looks like. And then you have maybe not being able to read or things being too small. I have another friend who has very poor eyesight. And so she's not able to experience the world to be able to read, you know, different events that you might see on bus stops or on posters about things that are happening. She has to have now support that can be available to her to be able to get groceries. So I think, you know, just even in terms of transportation, and not to mention, you know, and then you have budgeting. That I think that is also, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm able to eat healthy. I'm able to you know, there's enough stores within my budget range that I can go and get some nice outfits. And I really question whether or not we're supporting people to live with dignity in that sense, where, you know, what are they eating to be able to maintain good health, and how much money is left over if they want to buy something new, right? Not having to shop at thrift stores or want to have something new for a job interview or for a date that they may have or for an event that they would really like to go to with their family, maybe a family barbecue or something, just anything, right? Things that we do every day on a daily basis. I just think is you're just throwing so many more challenges. And then on top of that, if you identify as a developmental disability, there's going to be issues processing somewhere. So, yeah.
Well, and people figure, well, you know, well, that person is only able to have a minimum wage job. Why should they be allowed to shop in the same? Sometimes it's the attitude that people have that, oh, they're beneath me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's not right.
No, it absolutely isn't. You know, if I can highlight that point in kind of a different way, you know, the way that I work with the self-advocates is I fade in when necessary, right? So we had a really incredible young lady who applied for a federal grant to be able to support accessibility in her community. And so she was able to, you know, say, yes, I want to be a part of this. Here's where I think would be really great if we applied for. And she sat through the training on the phone. And then it was up to me to write the grant. It was up to me to navigate the dates and what was necessary for supporting documents. And so if you put it on paper and tallied all the different tasks that I did, you know, you could probably say, well, Jill, it looks like you did more. But that's not the case, right? Like the young lady who wanted to do this did everything that she possibly could. So within the time and contribution that she did, it was 100% for her. And so that is her success and her win. And I faded in as needed to support that in happening, right? And so mm-hmm. I think that if we see people in the community that identify as have a developmental disability trying to look for employment, and that's them giving 110% to this position, that getting other support from the government, I think is okay to be able to supplement them in being and living incredible lives, right? I think everybody has that opportunity, and if they're working to the best of their ability, they should be, I think, compensated to that.
Well, yeah, in as far as that is concerned, also is like you said, she did everything she could to a point. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be an application process that could lead to this really awesome job that mm-hmm. this person is totally capable of doing, but mm-hmm. they're not capable of handling the application process. So what happens?
Yeah.
They need, yeah. And that's where oh. Yay, Jill, you faded in and helped this person so that they could move forward, and you just faded back out again, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's a better way of looking at it as opposed to saying, okay, this person needs support. I'm going to be there in front of them to help them along whatever they need. No, you know, take a step back and see what's important and also how much they're interested in it, right? You don't want to be doing things for them, them or anyone, right? You want to make sure that you are supporting people and living their best lives, not living the best life for them. You'll have to excuse me for 1 second.
As far as that's concerned, it's, like you said, it's their life, not your life, right?
Yeah, and that goes for anyone, whether you have a developmental disability or not. You know, I don't want to lead my children's lives. I don't want to lead my husband's life. He wouldn't accept that anyways, or my friend's life. So you're really there to fade in as needed, I think, for anyone outside of yourself.
And I had to totally agree with you on that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess also knowing what time to fade in and what time to fade out too. So I've made that mistake a few times. Fade in,
fade in
at the wrong time.
Sure, and that
or with the right tool. Came mm-hmm. along with the wrong tool. It's like, oh crap, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, we all learn from our failures, and that is something, you know, as I get older, I really recognize. And you know, with our self advocates, they are just have so many incredible ideas and are passionate in so many different ways and how they want to contribute. And when I look at Alexander Magnuson, who mm-hmm. is such an incredible advocate and community member, but also, you know, self-identifies as needing support as well in his life, that, you know, you really want to make sure that you are, like I said, fading in as necessary.
Yeah.
But with as much potential as he has, and as community members sort of swarm to him after they see him, I think, wow, there's so many different areas that he could flourish and be successful in, but I have to take a step back and remember, you know, that's not my life, that's his life. And so it's really important. And so I think with support too, it can be a real slippery slope, you know, and that fading in is a better sort of way, you know, that there are people that have all different types of abilities here at Semiahmoo House Society, and that we have to remember that they have the opportunity to make mistakes and live just as we do, right? And so, I think monitoring too much can really be a deficit, right? Just as we all fail, everybody needs the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. That's just part of, it's not, I like how one of my mentors puts it, and he also lives in South Surrey. he puts it, it's not a failure, it's a learning process. You learned mm-hmm. something. Make sure did you walked away with some nugget of information that you could mm-hmm. use somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, completely, absolutely. If nothing else, then what you won't do again, right?
Oh, yeah. There's been one or two things. It's like, I'm sure we all can say that I won't try that one again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or I'll try it again, maybe with a little more safety net.
Yes. Oh, yes. I've been there too, for sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Even yesterday in the Toastmasters, I had the opportunity to participate in an evaluation contest. And there were so many great colleagues of mine that were part of that evaluation contest. And so even with that, I thought, okay, well, there are different ways that I can try that. And so it's a daily yeah. basis, right? I mean, we're going to fail continually if you try. And but you still have to get up and try and to do it. So for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know how you do it with that early edition though. That's too early for me. You're not my only friend in that group too. So, because actually, if we're going to talk about also disabilities mm-hmm. and Toastmasters. Mm-hmm. I can never remember Megan's last name, but she does a wonderful job of getting up, doing what she's got to do, and then mm-hmm. and then just completing the task and then dealing with her pain afterwards. You know who I
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, she is quite yeah. incredible, and that's something to remember too. I really, from being with the self advocates and getting a chance to have so many different friends in the community where people identify as having a developmental disability, you know, you really see that. I think we're all living on a spectrum where at different times we're feeling better, whether we have a headache or we've broken a leg or we've suffered a loss. That at different times we all need different levels of support. And so I think that's another gift that I've really been given by being able to work here, is that seeing how much that we're all one, and that to be kind and to remember that the first assumption you may make if somebody upsets you in some way may not be the accurate one. Just so really take that time to pause and consider whether or not there's going to be another narrative there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that is totally important. To keep, not just to count somebody out, just to mm-hmm. say, hey, you know, maybe they just need another chance at it or something, right?
Yeah. You don't know what sort of setting event or what people are going through. So to just give yourself time, because I think that everybody wants to be kind and wants to be treated with that kindness and yeah. with equality and compassion. So just remembering the way that you want to be treated, and just trying to give, you know, up to 10 seconds just to pause, to be able to think whether or not there could be another narrative, there could be another reason to why this person is acting or treating me that way, is yeah. really important.
Yeah, it could be like in Megan's case, I've known people that were in such pain that they always seemed mean and nasty to everybody. And mm-hmm. when the pain was relieved and they were happy, they were giggling, like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Then somebody said, well, why can't you be like that every day? And it's like, and then you have others that, I saw somebody else, one time, oh, it's just so a shame that they're that way. It's like, why don't we just celebrate what they just accomplished?
Yeah, oh, 100%, like, yeah.
And celebrate their courage to get out there, you know? So
exactly, yeah. I think that we have to recognize that most people are doing their best, right? And that we want to meet them where they're at and to give people just a chance to get to know them. There's a really cool opportunity that one of our self-advocates had last year to be part of the Community Leaders Igniting Change. Mm-hmm. It is a program through SFU that is funded by Envision Financial, and it's for community leaders in the Lower Mainland who are able to get to the Surrey SFU campus. And it's an application process. And we had one of our self-advocates take it, Manjeet Genghis. And so she was took it with another involvement coordinator, Sharmley Smith. I had the opportunity to take it in a previous cohort. It's a 12-week session. And it is run by Dr. Kathleen Burke, who is a professor at SFU through the Beattie School of Business. And in Manjeet's cohort, there were engineers and doulas and pastors and contractors, and she was seen as an equal and highlighted as a community member and as somebody who had something to offer. And so I think that being able to recognize that there are many different people in the community who want to be contributing mm-hmm. is really important. And so it is a program that runs, I believe, once to twice a year. And if there's anyone out there that is listening that wants to be a part of it, I highly encourage you to do so. Again, the program was Community Leaders Igniting Change. It's at very minimal cost, and it's once a week. And it's a wonderful program in learning how to be an adaptive leader.
Very cool. So I had to make sure that I actually add you to our Facebook page. That's Community Living Community Living Radio on Facebook. And I'm also going to remind everybody else out there who is listening to, they can get a hold of us at I think we're on Twitter at CLiving. CLiving Radio on Twitter. You can get a hold of us, or you can email us at communitylivingradio@gmail.com. And also, I'm going to toss my phone number out there. If there's anybody that has any other really cool show ideas, you can actually get a hold of me personally through Depictions Media at 778-389-6948. So if anybody has any really cool show ideas or things that they want to add into our body of content that we do here. So any last 1 minute events that you can get in there, Jill?
Oh, thank you so much for that opportunity, Michael. Yeah, I would say that if there's anybody out there listening that has a story, I really encourage you to connect with Michael. He's just an incredible human being, and to live your best life, you have to lean in and challenge yourself. And so this sounds like a wonderful opportunity. I know that I've thoroughly enjoyed the process, and I hope that there are more opportunities in the future to connect with you.
There will be, and just let me know when that that Toastmasters group gets up and running, and we'll do some really cool video with that.
Oh, it would be great, Michael. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jill, and we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Michael. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye. And thank you for listening, everybody. And we're going to move on to the next show on the NCRA networks or here at CITR, or if it's on Sunday, on Co-op Radio. Okay, so bye for now.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Radio. Yep.